Chapter 6. There were his truth, his simple single-mindedness, strained, maybe, by time's storms, but there no less. There were the daily deeds from sun to sun and blindness, but good faith, that he had done. There were regrets, and instances wherein he swerved, as he conceived, from cherishings I had deserved. There were old hours all figured down as bliss those spent with me, how little had I thought this. There those when, at my absence, whether he slept or waked, though I knew not was so, his spirit ached. There that when we were severed, how day dulled till time joined us anew, was chronicled. And arguments and battlings in defense of me that heart recorded clearly and ruddily. I put it back, and left him as he lay, while pierced the morning pink, and then the gray into each dreary room and corridor around, where I shall wait, but his step will not sound. Where they lived, disheveled leaves creep down upon that bank today, some green, some yellow, and some pale brown, the wet bents bob and sway, the once warm slippery turf is sodden, where we laughingly sat or lay. The summer house is gone, leaving a weedy space, the bushes that veiled it once have grown gaunt trees that interless, through whose lank limbs I see too clearly the nakedness of the place. And where were hills of blue, blind drifts of vapor blow, and the names of former dwellers few, if any, people know, and instead of a voice that called, come in, dears, time calls, pass below. The occultation, when the cloud shut down on the morning shine, and darkened the sun, I said, so ended that joy of mine years back begun. But day continued its lustrous roll in upper air, and did my later radiate soul live on somewhere? Life laughs onward, rambling I looked for an old abode where, years back, one had lived I knew, its site a dwelling duly showed, but it was new. I went where, not so long ago, the sod had riven two breasts asunder, daisies throve gaily there, as though no grave were under. I walked along a terrace, where loud children gambolled in the sun, the figure that had once sat there was missed by none. Life laughed and moved on unsubdued, I saw that old succumbed to young. 'Twas well. My too regretful mood died on my tongue. The peace offering, it was but a little thing, yet I knew it meant to me ease from what had given a sting to the very bird singing latterly. But I would not welcome it, and for all I then declined, oh the regrettings infinite, when the night processions flit through the mind. Something tapped on the pane of my room, when there was never a trace of wind or rain, and I saw in the gloom my weary beloved's face. Oh, I am tired of waiting, she said, night, morn, noon, afternoon. So cold it is in my lonely bed, and I thought you would join me soon. I rose and neared the window glass, but vanished thence at she. Only a pallid moth, alas, tapped at the pane for me. August 1913. The wound, I climbed to the crest, and, fog festooned, the sun lay west like a crimson wound. Like that wound of mine of which none knew, for I'd given no sign, that it pierced me through. A merrymaking in question, I will get a new string for my fiddle, and call to the neighbors to come, and partners shall dance down the middle until the old pewter wears hum. And we'll sip the mead, cider, and rum. From the night, came the oddest of answers. A hollow wind, like a bassoon, and headstones all ranged up as dancers, and cypresses droning a croon, and gurgoyles that mouth to the tune. I said and sang her excellence, fickle lover's song. I said and sang her excellence. They called it laudandu. Have your way, my heart, oh. Yet what was homage far above the plain deserts of my old and love proved verity of my new. She moves a sylphin picture land, where nothing frosts the air. Have your way, my heart, oh. To all winged pipers overhead she is known by shape and song, I said, conscious of license there. I sang of her in a dim old hall dream built too fancifully. Have your way, my heart, oh. But lo, the ripe months chanced to lead my feet to such a hall indeed, where stood the very she. Strange, startling, was it then to learn I had glanced down unborn time, have your way, my heart, oh. and prophesied, whereby I knew that which the years had planned to do in warranty of my rhyme. By Rushy Pond. A January night, 1879, the rain smites more and more, the east wind snarls and sneezes, through the joints of the quivering door the water wheezes. The tip of each ivy shoot writhes on its neighbor's face, there is some hid dread afoot that we cannot trace. Is it the spirit astray of the man at the house below whose coffin they took in today? We do not know. A kiss, by a wall the stranger now calls his, was born of old a particular kiss, without forethought in its genesis, which in a trice took wing on the air, and where that spot is nothing shows. There ivy calmly grows, and no one knows what a birth was there. That kiss is gone where none can tell, not even those who felt its spell. It cannot have died, that know we well. Somewhere it pursues its flight, one of a long procession of sounds traveling ethereal rounds far from Earth's bounds in the infinite. The announcement, they came, the brothers, and took two chairs in their usual quiet way, and for a time we did not think they had much to say. And they began and talked a while of ordinary things, till spread that silence in the room a pent thought brings. And then they said, "He end has come. Yes, it has come at last." And we looked down, and knew that day a spirit had passed. The oxen, Christmas Eve, and 12 of the clock. Ah, they are all on their knees, an elder said as we sat in a flock by the embers in Arthsides. We pictured the meek mild creatures, where they dwelt in their strawy pen, nor did it occur to one of us there to doubt they were kneeling then. So fair a fancy few would weave in these years. Yet, I feel, if someone said on Christmas Eve, "Om, see the oxen kneel in the lonely barton by yonder whom our childhood used to know," I should go with him in the gloom, hoping it might be so. 1915. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.